We bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you call us to call upon you. You provide all that we need. And yet, in our life sometimes, prayer is not just a privilege. It can be, for some of us, a difficult thing to do, not knowing what to pray or how to pray. And yet you so beautifully have given us a way to pray to you and to lift up our petitions before your throne. Bless us this day as we look at your word. And in that word, see how you invite us to come before your gracious throne. In Jesus' name, amen. The hymn we just sang is not a familiar one to Lutherans too often. As a matter of fact, we don't sing it very often in the church, as we sort of witnessed just now. Anyway, the good news is that we are all to be about prayer, and today we want to talk about prayer in our lives. The big question is, have you ever struggled with your prayer life? If we are honest, almost every one of us would have to say yes. Some of you belong to prayer groups. We have one that meets here every Wednesday night at 5:15, who come together to pray together, to lift up members of the congregation, events and things that they can pray for. There are a lot of individuals who begin their day by going to the Lord in prayer, or end their day by going to the Lord in prayer, by petitioning God with those requests that are on their hearts. In our worship service, we take time to pray, to petition God on behalf of others, the world, and there are all kinds of things we add in those prayers. And yet, sometimes, each of us struggle where there are points where prayer is difficult. Take, for instance, a family who has gone through an unspeakable tragedy, like a school shooting, where grief is overwhelming, pain, numbness. And when a pastor tries to console the family, they are polite, but in that moment, they are struggling to see the point of prayer. Why pray? God knows what we need. We need all of this to go away, and it's not going away. It'll never go away. Maybe the thoughts on their heart. How do we then respond when a family is broken to such a degree? The wounds are deep. And at that moment, they may be questioning God. But St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Yes, there are times in our lives where our groanings are too deep for words. Times when it is a struggle to pray, or even question if we should pray. But it is Paul who gently reminds us. It is the Spirit who intercedes for us in those moments. It is the Spirit who puts the words in our mouths And when we come to that great prayer, to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Yes, if we look at the gospel reading this morning, here we have Luke's account of the giving of the Lord's Prayer. It evoked by request. One of the disciples had watched Jesus pray and was reminded of how John's disciples had been taught to pray. And so he asked, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. How many times do we struggle with prayer and how to pray or what to pray? We are in that same position as that disciple as he witnessed Jesus in prayer. He saw something there that was important. And then Jesus, in our text, teaches them to pray. Beginning with how we pray and who we pray to. He invites us to address our God as our Father. Through their time with Christ, the disciples came to know and realize that relationship that Jesus had to his Father in heaven. It is the same relationship that you and I can have with our God. And if you read the Lucan account of the Lord's Prayer, you'll see something different there. It's not the entire Lord's Prayer. You see, there's a focus on that prayer. And Dr. Arthur Just from the Fort Wayne Seminary says, Luke's account has three petitions from that prayer. The petition for kingdom, for bread, and for forgiveness. Key elements in Jesus' table fellowship, which is very much a part of Luke's account and his reading of the gospel. As Jesus sat at meals with sinners, he wanted to signal that the kingdom of God had arrived at his coming. Through sharing and the breaking of bread, this earthly food, Jesus extends to us the forgiveness of sins. Dr. Just maintains that this table fellowship entailing, yes, kingdom, bread, and forgiveness will climax at the Passover meal on that Maundy Thursday as Jesus institutes Lord's Supper. Here is that new covenant given in His blood, in which He will shed that blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus will take physical bread and state, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Twice he will say, he will not partake again of this physical bread until in the parousia. It is a foretaste that he gives us of that which is to come, to that which is spoken of again in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. Where there we read, Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the mighty, almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." The marriage feast of the Lamb, something we can look forward to in the eschatological age. It is this bread that we partake of in the holy sacrament of Holy Communion that we are reminded this is the real presence of our God in our very midst, who lays down his life for the sheep. He gives us his body, and through that sacrifice makes forgiveness of sins possible to each and every one of us. Our petitions need to be God-centered, because Jesus wanted us to realize when we petition our Heavenly Father, the gifts we receive come from the one who is holy and the one whose kingdom is coming. He is our Father who art in heaven. The first petition is for bread. And this is the first of those three petitions that focus on the need of every petitioner who says those words. It corresponds with the table fellowship in Luke, that gathering together around bread, where there in that fellowship we come to realize what God has done for us. The second petition on forgiveness balances the petition for the bread. Just as bread is essential for our physical life, forgiveness is essential for our spiritual life. The need to forgive and be forgiving is ongoing. It is constant, just as bread is a constant need for the body. Forgiveness brings relief from the physical consequences of our sins. Yes, each of us is sinful and unclean. We will sin. And we need to acknowledge, each of us, our sinful nature as we do, as we begin our worship in the confession and absolution. Because every sin needs forgiveness. This is the good news we share in the body of Christ, that we are a forgiven people, forgiven because Christ died, rose again, and gives to us life. It is important in your life and my life. Every Christian is tempted. Even our Lord was tempted right after his baptism. He was led into the wilderness for 40 days, where there Satan tempted him. Jesus reminds us throughout the New Testament that Satan will shift us like wheat, wanting us to fall to those temptations that will come in our lives. And when they do come, we need forgiveness and restoration. And those are made possible as Christ went to the cross for you, for me, for all humanity. Yes, prayer life. Petitioning God. We need to be reminded that we can come to God because He is our Heavenly Father. It's interesting because as you look at those three petitions, which is laid out here in this one, it is about a relationship we have to God as our Heavenly Father who has done it all for us. And then you come to that second part of the gospel reading, which sometimes you wonder what it's all about, and yet it is in the context of what he tells us about prayer and the meaning of prayer, and that we are to be persistent in our prayer life. Being persistent is important. Remember the character of our God, a God who hears our prayers, who answers them as He sees fit for us. People of God, we need to be knocking. We need to be seeking. We need to be asking our Heavenly Father. He provides all that we need. That petition on bread is that interesting part. Everything we have in life comes from the hand of God. We need to let our requests be known to our Heavenly Father. In Luke, just as in Matthew, that Lord's Prayer is initiated because those who followed Him saw something in the way Jesus prayed. There's not a one of us who can't admit that our prayer life could improve. We need to come to our Heavenly Father time and time again. And we, like that disciple, need to ask, teach us to pray. We have a Father who knows us. We have a Father who loves us. We have a Father who invites us and wants us to call upon Him and to call upon His name. Yes, prayer is an important part of every one of us. God invites us to petition Him, for He is our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. And the most beautiful prayer, when we have no other prayer to pray, or we have not the words to say, is simply to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Petition God. It is a part of who we are as children of God. Amen.